Thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. My name is Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here as always with my fabulous co-host, Karen Swim of Solo PR Pro, the group that brings us all together. And we are also excited today to be joined by Brent Thompson from Cannon Capital Management Group. How are you, Brent?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. We're so delighted to have you with us today and cannot wait to share your expertise with our audience because we know that so many out there have so many questions for you and we get to ask them today.
We do. A little bit about Brent, and I will give the caveat that he is not only a client, but we have been friends since kindergarten, and I know we are Sesame Street years old, so you guys can do the math there. But since kindergarten, Brent has gone on to do great things. He has been with Cannon Capital Management Group since 1998 and was admitted to the company as a unit holder, which is an owner, in 2018. He's responsible for providing management advisory services, tax and general business planning, tax preparation, and financial statement preparation and review services for numerous businesses and their owners. He holds a CPA designation, as well as a certified management accountant designation, and a chartered global management accountant designation. He is also a member of the AICPA and the Institute of CMAs. So with all of that, he brings us a fount of information as we talk about, you know, in our little COVID world that we're living in, the different relief packages for small businesses. And we're so glad, Brent, that you're here to help us just answer a few questions as it pertains to a solo PR pro, a solo business owner. I guess the first thing we wanted to cover is, you know, we keep seeing that PPP funds are still available. You know, is that correct? If any solos are out there thinking, I missed that boat, there's no way I can still get any assistance. But can they?
Yeah, there is still about $140 billion, should be around there, left in the fund. And that number's been pretty stagnant for a number of weeks now. Because what's happening is, you know, the last of the push is getting through, but the big businesses that were not eligible that you've probably all seen in the news, they're returning their funds. So they're returning hundreds of millions of dollars, whereas the loans that are not going out are that large. So there's actually, you know, maybe a slight build over the last few weeks in the fund, but there still are funds available for that. Now, that being said, the applications are due and the funding into your account is due by June 30th. So understanding that the bank has to go through their process, they have to send it to SBA and stuff, that takes about 10 days after your approval to get funded, if not sooner, and the bank has to go through their approval process first. So if you back that up, you really should probably apply by June 10th at the latest. So we are kind of getting to the 11th hour. It's advantageous a little bit to apply now. There's new rule changes coming, which I'm sure we can talk about in a minute or two.
Sure.
But companies that have been really shut down entirely, you know, restaurants, barbers, hairdressers, gyms, those things, this actually may be a good time if you have not applied to go ahead and apply. And hopefully your funding then would match much closer to when your business opens back up and you need to draw on that cash to ramp back up, if you will. So some real quick stats of the program, if we're interested in.
Sure.
As of May 30th, there's been 4.4 million loans given out for $510 billion, which is again, a little bit interesting that the week before, as of May 23rd, there was still 4.426 compared to 4.475 this past week, loans, if you will. So again, it's not building quite as fast.
Right.
Banks that have less than a billion in assets probably have loaned about 891,000 or so. And our average loan size here in Pennsylvania, where you and I are, Michelle, is about 130,000.
Okay.
So
no, that's
overall average loan is about 114,000. So
wow.
The average Pennsylvania loan is 18.6. So this really is, you know, don't think that you have to have large dollars. You can go in for, you know, a couple 10,000 or so and be part of the program.
Right, right. And I know even some of us as solos, you know, what we might consider our payroll, you know, might not be worth it, but every little bit helps. And, you know, we've also seen, you know, chatter from Washington about extending the time to use the funds and changes in the amounts that will be required to be paid back, which is also important to those solo shops who, you know, can't be open. So what's the latest on that, or what's your latest take on that as far as the timing and the amounts, the percentages?
Yeah. So first off, you know, the public is getting to see something they don't usually see. So in tax world, they usually pass a law, make it effective for some point in the distant future. And then between the time it was passed and when it becomes effective, there's all kinds of public comment periods, there's interpretations, there's all the legal stuff that happens, you know, and they kind of get their act in order as best they can before it becomes effective. That is not the case here. You're getting to see the bridge built as you walk on it, quite literally, which is pretty astounding. So, you know, the sausage, you don't want to know how the sausage is made type of, you know, saying, you know, there's sausage on the floor and all over the counter at this point, and, you know, they're trying to clean it up as we go here. So, to your point, yes, there are changes in the works. So as soon as we're done this podcast, it's probably going to be obsolete. So just throw the legal disclaimer out there. But
so just enjoy listening to us.
Just enjoy listening, yes. But as of June 3rd, the way it is right now, the House has passed a bill and sent it over to the Senate for approval. The Senate is trying to come up with the unanimous consent, which means they've adopted everything the House says. It goes to the president for signature. There are two holdouts right now. I don't have the names handy, but I know the issues are they want the program to expire in August. And they want to change the 75% payroll cost ratio to 60%. So they're the two issues. They're trying to work them through. If they can get to the House version, then it would go to the bill, you know, it would go to the president. But if they make any changes, it has to go back to the House. And the House isn't in session until the end of June, from my understanding. So this could be a while, depending on how it plays out here over the next couple days. But the things that are in the bill that will change, and all these are going to be extremely advantageous to businesses, business owners, they're extending, right now the way it's written, they're extending the 8-week covered period. So again, when you get the money into your bank account, you have 8 weeks to spend it on quote unquote approved expenses. They're trying to push that back to actually 24 weeks, which is a huge increase, if you will. The reasoning for that is obvious. You know, some of the businesses, the restaurants, barbers, hairdressers, gyms are not open, but they got funded, so they can't spend the money. So that makes sense. There's also the June 30th date, which if you're a little bit familiar, that's kind of the drop dead. So even if you can't, even if you're ramping up during your 8-week period, as long as you hit the final finish line on June 30th and you're restored back to your full headcount and full wages by June 30th, you can claim a safe harbor and still have your loan forgiven. They're trying to push that date back to December 31st. And again, they might want to push that up. The Senate is trying to look at August instead of December.
Okay.
But nonetheless, there's an issue right now that the expenses that you use these funds on are not tax deductible right now.
Aha.
Which is a big issue.
Mm.
It was not the intent, but when they passed the law, they said the loan forgiveness is not taxable. Well, that's okay, because usually loan forgiveness is taxable. So they hit that end, but there's a back end door that they failed to address, in that in the revenue code, established revenue code, if you pay expenses with tax-free income, those expenses aren't deductible. So the IRS, and I'm the last one, Michelle, you'll testify. I am not going to defend the IRS, but they had no choice. It's right in the code expressly, and they came out and said, you know, the expenses are not tax deductible. So it would take an act of Congress to do that, and that's in this bill that's sitting with the Senate right now.
Okay, so there's still hope for that part.
So Brent, for a lot of our audience, they are solo PR practitioners, and they're organized a few different ways. Some may have an S corp, some may be LLCs. And many of them do not have W-2 employees. They have 1099 contractors. And I think there was just a lot of confusion about what constitutes payroll. So some of them did not even apply because they felt like they weren't eligible. And then the expenses piece, that's a really important consideration, because if your expenses are such that it made a bigger difference in your deductions, then you have to decide whether you want to give that up to have this loan that's going to help you to keep your team employed. Can you help us to walk through that so that our audience really understands?
We work with words, not numbers.
Yeah.
So a true sole proprietor, and when I say as a tax person sole proprietor, I mean taxed as a sole proprietor, a strict Schedule C or a single member LLC business that you file a schedule with your personal return. That loan amount and the forgiveness is pretty much a straightforward calculation. Now, I'm making the assumption that they don't have other expenses like rent or utilities or interest that you can pay. If you don't have any of those expenses and you don't have payroll, you can still participate in the loan program. Your borrowing capacity is based off of your 2019 net income. So if you look on your Schedule C, I think if off the top of my head, it may be line 31, that it's your bottom line income, net income. That's what you will use as your borrowing base. And in this case, for sole proprietors, the program is meant to be income replacement, not payroll, because you don't have payroll. So your forgiveness is also going to be factored on that line 31 from last year. So there's not a lot of planning that you can do, because it's a mathematical formula set in stone right now, you know. So if you give me a number, I can tell you what you borrow. I can tell you what will be forgiven. And it's not going to be 100% forgiven, because you're allowed to borrow basically 2.5 months, but you're only going to have 2 months forgiven under current law. But that, again, is going to change. So again,
And that explanation, had never heard that, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. It was nice and clear because I think a lot of our colleagues probably ruled themselves out of even attempting it, thinking, right. I know you and I have messaged too. I got a bit turned around because I'm an S corp. So my payroll is, it is what it is. All I can say is thank God for my health insurance premium.
Yeah. So the corporations, if you receive a W-2 from a company that you own or you're a partner in a partnership, it's a little bit different monster. And we can go into that if you'd like. But for your true sole proprietorship without any of those other expenses, you can participate. Your borrowing capacity and loan forgiveness, again, are going to be a straightforward calculation. If you do have those other expenses, interest and rent and utilities, there's a little bit of planning that you can do, but not a whole lot. You're going to have 2 months of utility expenses, most likely, or 2 months of interest that you're allowed. You can't come up with a new telephone bill all of a sudden. So again, there might be a little bit of planning, but it would be limited.
Cool. Well, that's good to know. And it's, it is. And I think too, what added to probably a lot of the confusion too, is just the stress that, we've been under. You're seeing finances fading and you're thinking, oh my gosh. So just this information is a great life preserver, even at this stage of the game. What else might you recommend for someone who is a solo shop right now? How can they be the smartest? What are their smartest steps right now within the context of these relief programs?
So again, I'll go back to the sole proprietor. I would encourage them to participate. There's one other piece of information out there before I get to the question per se.
Sure.
But there's a push also in the changes. Now, this is not in the House bill currently, but big banks are trying to have $150,000 or under forgiven in full. And I think there's a little bit of momentum for that because once you get payroll and once you get the other expenses and you're kind of full blown, the record keeping for this is just horrendous. It was a very easy loan to obtain other than the fact of everybody was freaking out, April 1st, April 2nd.
Right.
And there were all kinds of misinformation flying around, excuse me. But in general, it was a very easy loan to obtain. It's not going to be terribly easy to get out of it if you have all that other stuff. I would keep that in mind as a sole proprietor. It really is meant to be income replacement, and right. You should think of it that way. You don't have to prove any kind of impact or anything else. You don't have to turn over financials or my sales are down 50%, nothing like that. It is pretty much as close to free money as it comes.
Wow.
So
I know that, and I'm not sure if you can answer questions on the economic injury disaster loan, but there's a lot of fine print there too that people don't understand. Are there any other, fine print items that we should be aware of with PPP that, so that people go into this with knowledge, understanding that, the ins and outs of this money, because even though it's close to free, there's always conditions.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of conditions, to be honest with you. The economic injury disaster loans, that's a program that has been around for quite a number of years. excuse me. In that program, you get assigned to somebody and they have to determine, they'll do a deeper dive into finances and everything, then decide what you would qualify for and go from there. That program is totally overrun right now because there's not enough people in the SBA, obviously, to go through on a one-on-one basis and do the consulting to come up with the loan amount, so on and so forth. So while that program is technically there, the backlog is just horrendous. And I think they lowered the average, not the average loan, but they capped the loan amount a few weeks ago. And I forget what that is capped at. I want to say 150, but I can't say for sure.
I'm sorry.
There are two other programs, I guess, that you can be aware of. The first is just a straight tax deferral program.
Oh.
And that is if you have employees, and if you don't, you can participate in this as well, but you would be able to defer through the end of this year, through December 31st of 2020. You can defer the employer portion of your Social Security and Medicare tax for your employees. And then there's two payments. Half of it is due by December 31st, 2021. The other half is due December 31st, 2022. If you're a sole proprietor, you can defer half of your self-employment tax, which represents the Social Security and Medicare portion of your personal estimates that you pay. And again, same theory, half of it would be due 2021, half would be due 2022. So the other is really quick.
We didn't know about any of that. No. So thank you.
Yeah, seriously, that certainly helps with cash flow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a zero interest loan in essence, but it is a loan. There is a lot of danger. So if you defer your tax money, you have to pay it. And if you don't have the money come December 31st, you know, wham, there's, you know, a 25% penalty within 5 days or 10 days or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so you can get in trouble, you know, in the end. You'd have to be disciplined to participate in that deferral program and make sure you have the money come those dates, you know.
Right.
And
right.
You have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
The other program is an employer retention credit, which you do have to have payroll. You cannot do this in conjunction with PPP loans. So if you participated and had monies forgiven under the PPP loan or will have monies, I would recommend not to participate in this program. But if you retain your employees, but your sales are down over 50% year over year, and I'm summarizing not quite right, but the theory is, you would get basically a $5,000 credit for each employee that you retain. And that would go through December 31st of this year. Or if your sales per quarter exceed 80% of the previous year's quarter, then you are done participating in that program. And I think that 80% is correct as well, off the top of my head. I don't have clients doing this because it's a little bit more uncertain.
Yeah.
It's not that I've steered them away from it, but the PPP money is free. You know, this you may forego. There's a chance it may be a better program, but if your sales restore and you get kicked out early, then you've lost out, you know, on it. But that program's out there as well.
Yeah, it sounds definitely like a, you know, a bit more of a gamble, for lack of a better word. But I mean, this has been so incredibly helpful, Brent. We really thank you for all your knowledge. But we have a bonus question.
Oh, boy.
What is the weirdest thing someone tried to claim as a business expense that you can share?
That I can share. I shouldn't say this, but
you don't have to name names. No one has to know. Or I guess let's say if it's something that if the person's listening, they'll be like, oh, that was me.
No, it's not going to be an individual. I'll insult a whole group of people at one time. But doctors seem to be very aggressive, if you will, We've had doctors, you know, trying for their, you know, whatever pet food. And we had one doctor try and put a swimming pool in and ran it through the business. And we had to make an adjustment for that and stuff like that. You
oh,
know?
My goodness. What was a therapy pool, Brent?
Yeah,
come on.
nanny expenses and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So doctors just seem to be a little aggressive in general, at least the ones I've seen.
Oh, that's terrific. That is so
I'm
awesome.
Safe with that, I guess, because doctors aren't normally solo. So
I doubt we have many physicians listening to us. We thank you for your time today. And we really hope everyone out there listening, you know, learn something new that will, you know, there's a lot of great tangible advice in there to help us all out. So Brent, we thank you. And if you want to keep up with Brent at canoncapital.com, he does blog frequently and he offers what we have taken to call them Zoominars on topics like this. So you can sign up to stay keep posted on that information. So we thank you, Brent. And until next time, thank you for listening to That Solo Life.